good to be back here in Maui Chica. This year, there won't be the side-by-side translation, so this will be a new experience. But I'd like to ask, how many of you, this is your first time to be here at the European Young People's Conference? Okay, wonderful. Quite a good number of you. And then, of course, the rest, this is your at least second or more time to be here. Okay, can you hear me okay? Okay, good. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to have a little opening fellowship regarding this week, regarding our being here. So I'd like you to do your best to listen, because I'm going to try to bring you into the burden for this week. I think we're all quite excited. I know I look forward to this time very much. And when we're here, there's definitely some excitement about being here together with so many other young people. Also being in the mountains in Poland. But we must never forget that the reason why we're here, it's for the Lord. Amen. We are here for the Lord. Amen. And this week, we want to be those that would experience and enjoy the Lord. In fact, even the messages, even what we're going to cover, is for you to be brought into more experience and enjoyment of the Lord. So I'm so glad whoever called this last song that we sang, I'm so glad that it was called, because this is how we should begin this week. By consecrating ourselves to the Lord. Even I hope tonight, before you go to sleep, that you would, even just like in the chorus, just say, Lord, I give myself to you. Amen. That's a very short sentence, but it means a lot. It means a lot when we would use our will to make such a prayer. Lord, I give myself to you. How about right now, just where we are, we just pray that together. Lord, I give myself to you. So this week, we're going to give ourselves to the Lord. Now, that means a lot to give yourself to the Lord. When you give yourself to the Lord, on one hand, that means you give yourself to the schedule. You know, we have a schedule this week. And we're here to give ourselves to the Lord. That means we're going to follow the schedule. Because the schedule's arranged in such a way to help us enjoy the Lord. Also, we're going to open our being to the Lord. The more we open to the Lord, the more the Lord can work in us. The more the Lord can speak to us. So it's a good practice to open ourselves to the Lord. So just like we would pray, Lord, I give myself to you, we can also pray, Lord, I open myself to you. And even if you don't quite know what that means, what does he mean when he says to pray, Lord, I open myself to you? It's okay, the Lord knows. He knows what that means. So it's good just to be simple sometimes, to be simple to pray these simple prayers. Lord, I give myself to you. And to pray, Lord, I open myself to you. What you do when you pray that simple prayer in a simple way is you're giving the Lord permission to come and to speak to you, to work in you, and to touch you inwardly, to touch you in your heart, to touch you in your thoughts and your feelings, to touch your desires with himself. And when the Lord touches us, it causes us to gain the Lord. So we want the Lord to touch us. Because if the Lord would touch us, the result of that is that we would gain more of the Lord. And that is our goal. Our goal for all of you is that by the end of this week, you would leave with the Lord having touched you, and you having gained something more of the Lord. Well, let me now just share a little bit regarding the burden of the subjects for our meetings. Now, I use plural subjects because this year we're going to do something different, something we haven't done in the recent years. You know, in the previous conferences, we just had one subject for all the meetings, both the morning and the evening meetings. We were covering just one subject. But this year, we're going to have a line, or we're going to have a topic for the morning session, and then we'll have a different topic for the evening session. Okay, so the evening session on your booklet here on the front, the evening session is this topic: crucial aspects of God's economy portrayed in Exodus. And then there's four of these, but we're on number one this year, and that is salvation. Salvation. So we're covering in the evening the crucial aspect of salvation in God's economy portrayed in Exodus. Then the morning line is called holding the truth, holding the truth. So I'd like to share a little bit with you regarding the burden for both of these two lines that we'll be covering. Let's start with the evening line. Okay, remember what the evening line is? The crucial aspect? This time it's the crucial aspect of salvation in God's economy portrayed in Exodus. Okay, let's break that down a little bit, okay? Salvation, right, in God's economy. God's economy is God's plan to gain what He desires. You know, God has a good pleasure, God has a heart's desire, and you are involved. You are involved in that good pleasure or that heart's desire of God. And God has a plan. He has a way that He's going to get His good pleasure, His heart's desire in all of His people. God has a plan how He's going to work out His good pleasure in you. And we're going to see this portrayed in the book of Exodus. And I like that word portrayed. You know, it reminds me of the word portrait. Portrait. A portrait is a picture, a picture. So in the book of Exodus, we can see a picture of God's economy. And this time we'll see a picture of salvation, a picture of salvation in God's economy. And we'll see it in the story of the children of Israel in a very brief way. If you're familiar with the book of Exodus, God's people at the beginning are not in a good place. God's people are in Egypt. Egypt is a picture of the world. And God's people are in bondage, in slavery, under the tyranny of Pharaoh. Pharaoh represents Satan. Because of the fall of man, all of us begin in the world under the bondage of sin, or in bondage of sin, or slavery of sin, under the tyranny of Satan. So we didn't have such a good beginning, but God still has His heart's desire that He wants to work out in us. So because we're in not such a good condition or position at the beginning, there is a need of salvation. And so God has a way to save us. He has a way to save us even from such a low state, from such a fallen state. So this matter of salvation, it's very crucial. It's very crucial in God's economy because God is having to work out his good pleasure in us, ones who have become fallen and who are sinful. But we should be those who are full of joy. Amen. When we see this matter of salvation. Because in Exodus, even though God's people began in Egypt, not a good place, in slavery under the tyranny of Pharaoh, God's salvation gave them a way to come out, of Egypt, and eventually to serve God, to worship God. And when you get to the end of the book of Exodus, they are there building something with God called the tabernacle so that God and man can dwell together. You know, this is something that would be our experience and enjoyment in salvation today, that we are not only saved from our sins, that we're not only saved from the world, but salvation brings us to be able to serve God, to worship God, and to become God's dwelling place. So salvation is a wonderful matter. We really need to know the salvation that God has provided for us. But here's the crucial part. We have to see that salvation is Christ. Amen. Salvation is Christ. The salvation that God has prepared for us is a wonderful person. A wonderful person who has done a marvelous work to be salvation to us. So at the end of this week, the desire is not that you would just merely know some more knowledge about salvation, but you would have an uplifted appreciation of Christ. Because Christ is the salvation that God has provided his people in his economy. And we need to be those that experience and enjoy the salvation that is in Christ. There's a verse in the New Testament that gives us a little bit, well, gives us not a little warning, it gives us a strong warning. It tells us that we should not neglect such a great salvation. You know, Christ, he is such a great salvation for us. But we should not neglect him. We need to be those that are experiencing and enjoying him as our salvation. And with this matter of salvation, it includes what Christ has done for us, and it also includes what Christ is still doing for us today. So in a sense, salvation has a part that relates to our past, it has a part that relates to the present, and it has a part that relates to the future. So you might be thinking, well, I already know about salvation. Well, you may know and appreciate something of salvation related to your past. But don't forget, this salvation also relates to the present. Right now, are you enjoying and experiencing so great a salvation in Christ? And then not only the present, but there's still more to come in the future of what this so great salvation will work out in all of us. So I hope we would not be here saying, oh, salvation, oh, I know about that. I believed in the Lord. I prayed and the Lord forgave me on my sins and I got baptized, so I'm saved. Well, we'll see. There's much more in this great salvation that God has provided for us or given us in Christ. Even for us as Christians, even after we have believed in the Lord and our sins in the past were forgiven, we still make mistakes. We still sin. We still do things we shouldn't do. Even this morning, even maybe on the way here, we may have done something we shouldn't have done. We may have said something we shouldn't have said. But this salvation is something that's available to us daily. It's a daily salvation. Because this salvation is a wonderful person who is available to us day by day. Well, let's now consider the other line, which is titled Holding. Holding the truth. Holding the truth. Now, the reason why we have this burden for this morning line on holding the truth is because there is this series of fellowship that was given by Brother Lee related to pillars, even mentioning four pillars. And there are these four pillars of our Christian life. These pillars are life, truth, the church, and the gospel. Okay, did you get those four pillars? Life, truth, the church, and the gospel. Okay, now, when you hear the word pillar, what does that bring to mind, the word pillar? Pillar. Okay, last summer, after being here, I actually went to Rome for a week or so. And when I was in Rome, I saw lots of stone pillars. And many of these stone pillars were more than hundreds of years old. Some were 2,000 plus years old there. And they were still standing. And sometimes with those pillars, the rest of the building had fallen away. But the pillar was still standing. So, you know, the word pillar implies something that's solid. Something that's solid, something that has strength, because pillars often are holding something up, supporting something. Pillar has the sense of something that lasts, something that remains. So in our Christian life, don't you want your Christian life to have things that are solid, right? Things that support your Christian life. And things that help your Christian life to be maintained? Well, these four pillars are such. If we would get into these things, we would have a Christian life that is solid, a Christian life that's full of strength, and a Christian life that can be maintained. And so this line this time is on the truth, the truth. So we want to be those that with us, the truth is like a pillar. The truth is something that is solid in us. The truth is something that is strengthening us. The truth is something that is enabling us to maintain our faith, to maintain our Christian life. I think in all of us, that's really in our heart, right? In our heart, we don't want to be a backsliding Christian. We don't want to be a failing Christian, but we also realize that just in ourselves, it's not so easy to be solid, not so easy to be strong. So we need to build up these pillars in our Christian life. And so this time, we want the Lord to be able to speak to us, to touch us, that we would be willing to build up the pillar of truth, the pillar of truth. And this word truth is a great matter in the Bible. Truth, in a simple way, means reality, what's real. And really, if we're going to touch the truth or what's real, we would be brought to realize that the one who is the most real in the universe is God Himself. God Himself. In fact, the Lord said in John 14:6, He says, I am the way, the reality, and the life. And in some translations it says, I am the way, the truth and the life. So just like salvation is this wonderful person, Christ, we'll also see that truth is also this wonderful person, Christ. Christ, who is the embodiment of God. Also in John 17, the Lord said that God's word is truth. God's word is truth. So if we want to know the truth, we have to know God, and we also have to know God's word. We need to have God's word in us in a solid way so that it could be something that is strengthening our Christian life. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it tells us that God desires that all of his people would come to the full knowledge of the truth. So I hope in all of us, we would match God. God desires that you would come to the full knowledge of the truth. And I hope we would have the willingness to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Then there's a verse, Ephesians 4:15. It's where we get the title from. There we're told that we need to be those who are holding to the truth. Holding to the truth. You know, that verse telling us that we need to be those who are holding to the truth. Right before that, the preceding verse tells us that it's possible for Christians to be blown about, to be tossed about by different winds of teaching. But these different winds of teaching are not the truth. But because some Christians don't know the truth, when they hear a wind of teaching, they think it's true, and it blows them about. You know, being blown about means you're not solid, right? A pillar is not blown about. But to be blown about means you're not so solid. So that verse, holding to the truth, implies if we're not careful, if we're not careful, we could be those who do not hold to the truth, do not stick with the truth, do not remain with the truth. And that would cause us to fall away as a Christian. So this is not a light matter. We should take this very seriously, this matter of holding to the truth, building up in us a solid foundation of the truth of what's real. So I believe the Lord brought us to this because this is what is in his heart for you. He wants you to be solid, solid as a brother or sister. He wants you to have strength in your Christian life, and he wants you to maintain your Christian life. It's wonderful. Now, we're coming to the last part of our opening word to you, and this is going to have some involvement from you. But I'd like to mention this. I'd like to bring in the word joy, the word joy, okay? You may be wondering why I'm bringing in the word joy. Well, in Psalm 51, this is a psalm from David. After David had committed a terrible sin. David had committed a terrible sin. And this psalm is his, you could say it's his crying out to the Lord for the Lord to forgive him. For the Lord to forgive him. And in that crying out to the Lord, he says, part of his cry is, create in me a clean heart, O God. Amen. Then he says, restore to me the gladness of your salvation. Now, when I was your age, the translation I was more familiar says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. You know, when we would experience salvation, when we would experience Christ as our salvation, this causes us to be people who are full of joy. It causes us to be glad. So actually, Christians should be people who are jubilant, people who are full of joy, people who are glad. This should be our normal experience. But Psalm 51, with David, we see that even God's people can commit sin. And when we commit sin, it causes us to lose the joy, the gladness of our salvation. But this salvation is wonderful because it can be restored. The joy can be restored. The gladness can be restored, but it needs something on our side. It needs our repenting. It needs our confessing to the Lord. And as we would open to the Lord, you know, this is another aspect of opening to the Lord. Opening to the Lord includes not covering things up, not hiding things up from the Lord. But if we realize that we've lost the gladness of our salvation, the joy, that may be an indication that there is something between us and the Lord, that there is some sin that has come in to cause us to not maintain the gladness or joy of our salvation. And if we have that kind of experience, this should cause us to realize, I need to open to the Lord. I need to open anything I've done, confess it to the Lord, clear it up with the Lord, so that the joy of my salvation, the gladness of my salvation would be restored. Then this matter of joy is also connected with the truth. And I'm going to just read to you some verses from 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to start with verse 4. And these things we write that our joy may be made full. And this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and are not practicing the truth. So here, joy is connected to the truth, to our practicing the truth. Then verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. So if we are not practicing the truth, this brings us into darkness. God is light. In God, there's no darkness at all. So if we sense that we are lacking joy, this may be an indication that we are not in the truth, that we're not in the light, but rather we are in darkness. So what should we do? Well, just like with sin, we need to open to the Lord. We need to confess our condition to the Lord. Also with the matter of the truth, if we're not in the truth, if we've been in something of darkness, we need to open to the Lord. Confess this to the Lord. And verse 7 told us that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. The blood of Jesus, this wonderful person who's our salvation, cleanses. His blood cleanses us and brings us back into fellowship with God. God who is the truth. God who is reality. So right now, we're going to now have you participate. We're going to give you some time. Right where you are in your chair, you can just bow your head, close your eyes, meaning don't worry about what other people are doing in this time. This is between you and the Lord. Amen. That you would just take the next 5 minutes, and just consecrate yourself to the Lord. Consecrate your being here to the Lord. Tell the Lord you are opening to him. Tell the Lord you want to experience and enjoy Him more than ever before this week. And also, confess to the Lord anything that may be on your conscience, anything that may have come in to cause you not to have the joy of your salvation, that may be causing you not to be so full of joy. It's good just to open in this way to the Lord, confessing to the Lord, clearing up anything between us and the Lord. And even while you're there, maybe the Lord will remind you of something. If He does, just confess it. Just clear it up so that there would be an open way for the Lord and you this week for you to have more experience and enjoyment of Him. Okay, so we'll start right now, 5 minutes, just you and the Lord.